So last time we were considering what are random walks. So random walks is when you move randomly with a certain time step and with a certain distance. So that normally we put it like here. How did we put it? X. We had it X. I think T we had x-axis, doesn't matter, but let's say time and space. So at a certain time step, you make a certain jump in one dimension, then you have a certain waiting time, delta T, because you stay in the place where you are, and then you have another jump after this waiting time, to a different direction, another waiting time, jump, and so on. These different jumps, delta x and delta t, and depending on the distribution of delta t and delta x, they are so-called Levy flights, and as we discussed, and if delta x and delta t are normal jumps and waiting times, so not scale invariant for large times, we have normal diffusion, and this a normal diffusion means that the expectation value of the distance is not ballistic, so not proportional to the not linearly in time, but proportional to the square root of time. So x squared is proportional to t. So the mean square distance grows linearly in time with a diffusion constant, and that is a Telmark sign of diffusion. In contrast to ballistic transport, in ballistic transport, x equals v times t, the velocity, the distance increases linearly with time. So that is ballistic transport, and this is diffusion. As an example, we started last time just to consider a small example, namely diffusion in networks. So this is classical diffusion in space. So like a particle in a liquid, for example. And here in this lecture, we are considering plenty of networks. So we started with diffusion on networks. So our space has in the topology of a network, and we have a quantity like water, information, people who are living on the nodes on the networks, I equals 1 to n, and they can move from one point to the other point, and the network is not uniformly. Let's say if it's an if they're a tube, depending on the thickness of tube, water can go more into the one direction, the other direction, and or if this is a social network, the strength of the social network is how closely you know the other person, and so we said we have a connectivity W I J. If this is your I and this is J. No, exactly the other way around here. If this is J and this is I. So that is the strength from I to J. And we just derived that we can derive the probability distribution. So what we are interested in Pi of t, so the probability to find the walker, the random walker. So that's like in the Google PageRank algorithm, you start a random walker somewhere, you have many random walkers, in the end you look at the distribution of the random walkers. In the Google PageRank, the WIJs are the adjacency matrix, either 0 or 1, and here they have a weight, but otherwise it's a direct generalization. And so this would then be the page rank of a site, and here it is the density of random walkers or the density of information, depending what you're considering. And we derived that the differential equation d by dt of OI of t equals sum over incoming links. This is in the Google PageRank, is the sum over backlinks, namely the links are linking to a site I. So this is all web pages linking to site I, Tij, rho j of t, minus rho I of t, where this Tij, the link matrix, the effective link matrix Tij is Wij, the weight of going from the probability to go from j to I, divided by normalization, sum over k, Wkj, because these are all the outgoing links from site j, and I have to normalize with respect to all outgoing links, because if I'm in a web page, I have to go at this. And I have to click somewhere else, but if I do it randomly, I have to normalize by the possibilities to click. And yeah, this is a weighting. So that is what we derived. And we can also write that into a matrix form, namely d by dt, rho as a matrix. So rho as a matrix is a vector here, sorry. Rho 1, rho 2, and so on. And now this one here is a matrix D, rho is a vector T, where the matrix D is just everything written here, namely Dij equals Tij minus delta ij. And this looks now very much like a diffusion equation, only that we here are on the on a network, so we don't have the second derivative here in time and in space, but in differential equation operator, which is actually pretty much very similar if you look at that to the graph Laplacian. So it's actually very similar to the normalized graph Laplacian. If the Wij is the adjacency matrix, then if you remember the graph Laplacian was the difference between all neighbors minus the central site. And if this is the adjacency matrix, then this is just the number of outgoing links. So this corresponds then to the graph Laplacian. And that is, of course, what we expected, because this is the diffusion equation. The normal diffusion equation is, I forgot to say that, rho dot equals d rho double prime. So the first derivative with respect to time, diffusion constant, second derivative with respect to space. That's the same here, only that we have the graph Laplacian on a network and not the second derivative. So, the diffusion equation, I think you were not here the last time, is this one. That is a diffusion equation. Mathematics or in physics, first derivative with respect to time, one often denotes with a dot, and with respect to space, often with a prime.
Derivative would be
d. Do you remember the graph Laplacian? The graph Laplacian was the Graf Laplacian was if you have a function, we called it f at that time, but here it is rho, it doesn't matter. If you have a function of a network, it is the value of the function on side I and sum over j, nearest neighbor, fj, minus the zi, the number of outgoing links, the what do you call it? The the number of anyhow, zi, the number of outgoing links, and that is exactly what we have here. Only that we have divided it by here because if this is adjacent to matrix, this is just 0, 1, and this is the sum over outgoing link. So if you just multiply that by that here, and you exactly have the same form. The degree. So, degree. So this is not a surprise, because this is the Laplace operator, of course, in one dimension. In three dimension, we have the diffusion equation is rho dot equals d times Laplacian. And this is just essentially the Laplace operator on the lattice. And so we can take a look at the stationary state. Since we have a finite system, of course, we could have plenty of going on, but interested, so rho dot equals 0. What happens? This is called the stationary state, if nothing changes anymore. That means we are looking at rho I of t is t going to infinity. So we're interested in t to infinity. And if rho dot equals 0, so this of course part is 0, then this part has to be canceling each other. So we will have a solution if rho I of infinity is proportional to sum over j w I w j I, which is OI WJI WIJ well, I will show that. This is an ansatz. If we plug this ansatz in our equation, we will have that OI of infinity. I can take away the proportionality factor equals sum over j w j I equals, now has to be this part here, times this, sum over j w I j, which is this here, divided by sum over k w k j, and here we have rho j I. Now, if this is the case, then you see that sum over j, sum over k cancelling. So the condition is that sum over j And here we have sum over k w k j, which I have written here in this way. So if this is the case, then these two quantities cancel, and we have if sum over j w j I equals sum over j w I j, we have a solution, and that is okay if, for example, w I j equals w j I, then it's very easy. So if the network is symmetric, if network is symmetric. So if the network is symmetric, what we expected, then it's very easy to find a solution, namely that this ansatz does do the job. The density is proportional essentially just to the incoming, to the degree of the vertex, which is then wji, so that is proportional to the degree. And if the network is not symmetric, then you cannot just find an analytic solution, then you have to do numerical simulation and to see, then it will be much more difficult. So for so the symmetry is used here. This condition is easily fulfilled, or is fulfilled, if since here I have a ji and I have a ij, the symmetry is fulfilled if wij is wji. Then this condition is fulfilled. And this condition, if this condition is fulfilled, then the diffusion equation on the lattice is given. So this is a diffusion equation, and I can solve it from this one. I go to here, and this is fulfilled if this is fulfilled.
So it shows that in infinity the network is symmetric.
No. Now we are looking at the stationary solution, and the stationary solution means going time to infinity, because if you start with some initial condition, which is very different, after a long time, the system goes to the stationary solution. That's infinity. And how does the stationary solution look like? There always will be some stationary solution, and generally, you have to find it numerically by simulation. But if the network is symmetric, you can make this ansatz, this analytic ansatz, and show that this analytic ansatz is exactly the solution of the Laplace equation on the lattice. So, yeah, which is very intuitive, since the density of random walkers depends on how many links you have to the site. So the site, which is important, is important because of the higher connectivity, higher degrees, will have more random walker on the average being there, because it's easier to go there. So this was a side remark. As I said, in generally, you need to do a numerical simulation. A side remark that really the Laplace operator is on the lattice is what we expected. It also describes the diffusion in the generalized diffusion equation for the lattice. So now we're coming more again to the general fundamental theory of diffusion. In generic, in normal space, and so that is a very famous Langevin equation. So the Langevin equation is a microscopic justification to a certain extent of diffusion. Or microscopic explanation. So microscopic means that I have a differential equation which is very much like Newton's equation. And Newton's equation, as you know, is something like mv dot is some force. And the Langevin equation is a generalization of Newton's equation with the following. We have mv dot, that is has always to be there because it describes the acceleration of a particle. On the right-hand side, there's a damping term, minus m gamma velocity, because that is describing the damping. But with only damping, the particle goes to zero, plus there's a noise term. I will describe that. So that is the Langevin equation. So the damping term is well known, we know that. And the noise, noise is with S. Has the following property, that the average, ensemble average, on time average, all averages actually, is zero. Here it's normally what we will consider the ensemble average. But also the time average is, of course, also zero over time. So if I look at the noise as a function of time, I have some random kicks. So this is like a force, like here in Newton's equation, but the force is random. So that's describing a particle moving, let's say, in a liquid, and it gets randomly kicked by other particles. So here, 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 it's a random uncorrelated force kicking this particle and driving it to the diffusion. And but it is also denoted white noise. Since the power spectrum, the autocorrelation function, the expectation value C of T prime, equals delta T minus T prime. So what does it mean? That is an autocorrelation function. So I look at the noise as a function of time, T. Then I take the ensemble average of the noise, let's say, at this time here, which is for this ensemble here, and another time here, T and T prime. And there are no correlations. So if I take the ensemble average, so many different noise generalizations, the ensemble average means I put the particle in my liquid, look what it's doing. I put it another time in my liquid, look what it's doing. I put it another time in my liquid, look what it's doing. So I'm getting many realizations of the noise. I'm doing the experiment 100,000 times again. And then the noise at a certain time has nothing to do with the noise another time. That is called white noise, because if I do the Fourier transform of a delta function in frequency space, the spectrum is flat, because the Fourier transform of a delta function is flat. And now white light, so light which is white, has a flat power spectrum, because if not, it would be colorful. So the opposite of white noise is colored noise, namely if this is not a delta function, but if there's a correlation function. Because white noise, so light is white for us if essentially the power spectrum is flat. All colors are equally inside the spectrum. So we consider here only white noise, so uncorrelated noise. And the generalization is, of course, mathematically more difficult, but white noise is pretty easy to treat, at least in these elementary considerations. So that is what's called stochastic differential equation. Any differential equation which has a noise term is called stochastic. And this is a very big field in physics, theory of dynamic systems theory, stochastic differential equation, if there's a noise term here. And the rules are a little bit different, because you have to be careful how you treat this stochastic term. So one denotes with psi of t prime equals q times delta t minus t prime. That is the definition of the white noise, and q is a measure of the strength, of course. Because if q equals 0, the overall noise strength is 0. There is no noise. So I cannot define, since the expectation value, ensemble expectation value is 0, I have to define how large is the strength, and I can define it by the prefactor of my delta function. So the formal solution of the Langevin equation is very simple. The velocity as a function of time equals the initial velocity exponentially damped plus e to the minus gamma t divided by m, integrate from 0 to t, dt prime, e to the gamma t prime, psi of t prime. You just write it down and prove that it's like that. We can do that. This is the formal solution as an integral over noise. Why is that the case? You just take the time derivative. So the initial condition is, of course, v of t equals 0. Then this integral goes to 0. This is just v0, initial condition. And the time derivative is easily calculated, d by dt of v of t is here, minus gamma. I can take here I have a minus gamma, here I have a minus gamma, so I have a minus gamma. Minus gamma comes out in front of both of them, v. I'm not sure whether I have not the... yeah, that's correct. Minus gamma v, because I can take the derivative here and here, so I take the gamma out of both of them, and then I have v again, plus e to the minus gamma t over m. I take the derivative here, e to the gamma t psi of t. So I multiply by gamma, then I have m v dot equals minus gamma v. This cancels, plus psi of t. This is just the Langevin equation. So now in the following, we just analyze this solution. The strength of the noise is divided by m. Well, in certain sense, since I have the m here, the noise has to, this random force has to accelerate the particle. And of course, when you accelerate a particle, the mass enters. If the particle is very heavy, a random kick does little stuff. If the particle is very light, it does the velocity is changed in a larger way. So what we calculate in the following the mean squared velocity, and then in the next step the mean displacement, which we can because v is x dot, and then make a connection with the diffusion equation. So v squared is easy because I just take the square root, the square of this solution, v squared times e to the minus 2 gamma t, just squaring this term, plus, now I take the product here, 2 v0 over m e to the minus 2 gamma t integral from 0 to t t t prime e to the gamma t prime, and then I have psi of t prime expectation value, because of course I have here also the expectation value here, ensemble expectation value, but there's no noise here, so the ensemble expectation value just goes away. Plus the square of this stuff, plus e to the minus 2 gamma t over m squared, integral from 0 to t prime, dt prime, to t, dt prime, integral from 0 to t, t double prime, e to the gamma t prime, e to the gamma t double prime, and then I have here psi of t prime, ensemble expectation value. Just take the square and it takes ensemble expectation value. This ensemble expectation value is 0, and this is a delta function, delta x minus delta y. So if I take, I can take one of these integrals, just being t prime equals t, or t prime and t double prime, sorry. This is a delta function, so I can just take t prime equals t. So I have v squared equals v0 squared e to the minus 2 gamma t plus e to the minus 2 gamma t over m squared integral from 0 to t dt prime. And I have here then e to the, since these are both the same, e to the 2 gamma t prime. Now this integral I can do, it's not difficult. That is v0 squared e to the minus 2 gamma t plus e to the minus 2 gamma t over m squared. This is 1 over 2 gamma, and this is e to the 2 gamma t minus 1. So now I'm ready. It's very simple. I'm interested again in the long-term limit. So what is the long-term inference of the initial condition and of the noise? And of course, we see, as expected, since we have damping, that the initial velocity doesn't matter for long terms because it is damped very strongly. So the initial velocity is irrelevant for the long-term time behavior. And in the long-term time behavior, there's only one term which survives, which is, of course, there was an error here, because this is proportional to q times delta squared. So I have forgotten here a q, and I have forgotten here a q. So I have limit t going to infinity, vt squared equals, then these here two terms cancels, q q over 2 gamma m squared. Sorry? So that means the dynamics is driven completely by the noise. If the noise strength is zero, q equals zero, nothing is happening. Everything comes to a standstill. But the mean fluctuations of the velocities, the velocity fluctuates because a particle in my liquid is randomly kicked, so it never comes to a standstill. The mean strength of the velocity is it doesn't increase. I mean, why is that the case? I mean, initially you have some velocity, but it's damped. And then the particle in my liquid is only kicked by the thermal motion of the molecules of the liquid, but that is constant. So sometimes they're kicked in one direction, then they're kicked in another direction. So on the average, the velocity will be zero and will be just a mean squared velocity. And which is exactly proportional to the strength of velocity, and as you said, it's divided by m or m squared, because this is the inertia of the particle. We also see that the stronger the damping, if the damping is very strong, this also the effect of the kicking becomes smaller. Now, the next step, well, I came a little bit late. Let's do it the next time. But the next step is to do exactly the same here and just calculating x squared from this solution of the Langevin-Wiensch equation and see, and we will see actually that this will be proportional to time t. And with some proportionality factors, which will depend on q, gamma, and m. And so that means we can really show that this Langevin equation is a microscopic justification of diffusion because the behavior of the particle is exactly what we expect from diffusion. So the mean displacement squared, the mean squared displacement, is proportional to time t. And so this is our very first inroad of stochastic equation. And one can do quite a few things with that. We will just then consider further on the most important issues in the theory of stochastic differential equation, like stochastic escape and stochastic resonance. So let me make a break up to Thursday.